Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, welcome to the first episode of Major Sports Radio with Rasoe McGee. I'm your host, Rasoe McGee, and we have a great show today. We have a guest. Everybody knows her. Her show begins at 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. And her name is Brenda, and you can catch her on Face Off with Facemeyer. And we're also going to talk about the Wizards, Redskins, Orioles, Terps. There's so much happening in the sports news today. We're going to catch up with everything. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring Brenda on so we can help this, you know, so she can help me discuss some of these topics today. Brenda?
Yes.
All right.
Hello.
I'm glad that you're on my show today. Thank you. Thank you for taking the time and help me discuss these issues that's going around the sports with these teams today. Let's dive right into it. We're going to talk about Kirk Cousins' press conference and what he said during the press conference. He said there was this one reporter, and he brought up a very interesting comment. He said that just like last year, would you bet on yourself like you did last year? And Kurt's response was somewhat lackadaisical or joking or whatever he said. He said, that was a misconception. I don't bet on myself. I bet on the system. What do you think about that?
It seems like he's trying to maybe get a way out if he, I hate to say the word, sucks this year. I mean, I'm out of town, so I haven't been watching much sports. So, you know, when I listen to you, you're kind of getting me on track right now. So, I think he's trying to cover himself in case he doesn't do good. I mean, now he's, you know, saying this instead of what he said last year. I'm surprised he didn't say it depends on the team. We play as a team and everything. Like, yeah, it sounds like he's trying to cover himself. What do you think?
I think what he was doing, he was actually trying to poke fun at the reporter, even though the reporter was on his side. You know, I think what he was doing was making a joke, but it didn't come out as what he thought it would be funny. But I think he knows that everybody's on, you know, watching him closely, and he knows that he has to throw away this pressure onto something else, so that won't be too much pressure on him. He knows this season is a make or break a year for him, and he knows that his past accolades are right at the top, and he knows that he wants to mirror that same image this year, and he knows that he's not going to stay with the team. This is my opinion. He's not going to stay with the team. He's going to see what the rest is going to do, and then make his decision afterwards. Is he going to sign with the Redskins? I don't think so. Is he going to see what kind of money they put up? Then he'll make his decision there. And ultimately, he's probably going to go with the 49ers.
That's what you think is going to happen?
Yeah, I think that's mainly what's going to happen, because in my opinion, he's not showing enough what's the word? I can't even get the word out. He's not showing enough. He's not willing to show that he wants to stay enough. So I think he's planning out how the rest of the season is going to be. You know, be. So if we go, my prediction was 9-7. If we go 9-7, Redskins going to have to throw the book at them, or match the tag they're going to for the other team. Excuse me. So that's what I think was going to happen. Well, let's bring in another caller. Maybe the other caller may have another perspective. Hello, you're on the air. Who am I speaking with today?
Okay. Good afternoon, Russell. Yeah. This is Lou Tuna from New Jersey.
Hey, Lou, how
Hi.
You doing?
All
I'm kind of a little winded for, you know. I want to give your perspective on the topic right now. Kirk Cousins, you know, he was at the podium, and he said something that was very interesting. He said that he does not bet on himself. He bets on the system. What do you think?
Well, I think maybe you said that he was making fun of
the situation.
I mean, the reporter.
Yeah.
Well, reporters, you know, reporters can get very nosy a lot. And, you know, they have to really, you know, watch what they say, because, you know, a lot of times the athletes, they can take it rather personal. And, you know, with sensitivity issues. So, you know, I think he handled it very well. I think it's just too much of the report. But I did hear on, like, a Sports Center this morning on Bits and Pieces.
Okay. I like that.
And, you know, he is kind of, you know, a little bit on the sensitive side. And the reporters, you know, they can get a little carried away.
True. Some reporters do that. You're right, Lou. You're right.
Yes, they do.
But would you also
–
oh, go ahead.
Sometimes the reporters don't know when to keep their yap shut.
True. I agree. And now those, you know, when you tend to have reporters asking those questions, sometimes the questions can be, you know, rhetorical, and sometimes they tend to have no basis facts. But in this case, the person that I believe that was asking the questions were very favorable of Kirk Cousins, and they just wanted to know, are you going to bet on yourself this year like you did last year? Now, keep in mind, 2017, Kirk Cousins said he bets on himself when it came to doing the contract negotiations with the Redskins. So the reporter was just asking that similar question that he did 2017. Sometimes we tend to overthink what one person is trying to get out of you. I think it was just overblown on his part, but I see what you were saying, Lou, that you're not wrong. I agree with that. Some reporters tend to push buttons to get you a reaction. That's their job. Brenda, did you want to add on
No, Lou's right. I mean, you know, people are going to go after you to get a reaction. So, I mean, maybe that's what he was trying to do, start up some controversy or trouble or something like that. Maybe get him to say something he doesn't mean or something like that. So, yeah,
true.
Good job.
All right. we also have a question from Mark Easter. Mark Easter has a question, and let's see if I can pull up. And he also had a question about Kurt as well. It's just give me a moment. But while we wait, what do you think the record's going to be for this team? Now, the first game is against the Eagles. All right. The second game is against St. Louis. And the third game is against the Raiders. And the next game after that is against the Kansas City Chiefs. For the first games I just listed, beginning of the season, which you think the record's going to be?
Well,
you mean out of the first four?
Yeah, out of the first four.
The first four. I'd say maybe
four.
People better not come after me. I say 2-2.
2-2.
I was
going to
say that.
Okay.
What
was
you going
to
say, Lou?
That's great. Now I will go with Brenda and Lou. Both of you, which games are we going to win and which games we're going to lose?
Why don't you take that, Lou?
You can start with that one. You can start with that one, Brenda. You can start with that one.
Thanks, Lou. No, I kind of think we might lose the Kansas City game. Okay?
I think so.
You think so? And the Eagle game could be an iffy. Where's it going to be at? I haven't looked at the roster yet or the schedule.
No problem. I think we're going to go maybe I'll go with you 2-2. You know, I feel that we're still going to lose to Kansas City because we haven't really beat Kansas City in a while. So, but here's Mark Easter's question. He goes, he says, but do you think Kurt would be our Tony Romo?
Oh, boy.
Let Lou answer that since he is a Cowboy fan. What do you think, Lou?
Just what the league needs, none of the Tony Bozo.
Yeah.
For your sake, we hope not.
No, I don't think so. I think Tony's problem was because he got hurt a lot. Tony wasn't that bad.
Oh, no.
Right.
No, but it was an accident waiting to happen.
But when it came to big games, Tony seemed to be off in another world. You know, when the game was on the line, sometimes he thought maybe he can just flash and let everything just happen. As you can see, he overthinks things. When he threw that one pass, in that Broncos game, you know, at home, the Broncos came back. They kept battling. I think that was the one game they were counting punching the Broncos, and the Broncos kept counting punching back. And he became lackadaisical in the fourth quarter. That's his problem. He's either off in another world, and you can see it on the field, off in another world, and then he just look up and like, I can't believe I threw that, you know? And that was his problem. It was always in the fourth quarter, even though he had fourth quarter comebacks. And in games that matter, he just shut down.
Uh-huh.
So what do you think about that, Brenda and then Lou?
Well, I mean, yeah, that's why I told everyone he shouldn't get all that big money because he really hasn't proved himself that well. That's just my opinion.
Right.
I don't think he can throw the ball as far as some quarterbacks, and he has a little bit of a problem winning the big, important games. I mean, he is a good quarterback. Again, I've said 2 or 3 weeks, his numbers aren't going to be as good as last year. That's just my opinion. I hope he doesn't get hurt. I hope he proves me wrong.
You get paid by what you're worth. I mean, it's time for you to show NFL how good you are, and that'll give you the big money. If you're just a mediocre player, quarterback, whatever, you're not going to get the money you think you want. You know, you are what you're worth.
Right.
Very true. Very true. And I agree with Brenda and Lou that the money that was given to him was not a guaranteed money. It was to show Tony that the Cowboys believed in him. But you can't say that when you shove the man out after he lost his job after an injury with his back. You give him all this money, and he can't perform on the field. So now you went and got a younger quarterback who took your team to the NFC East title, and then you push him out. You know, that's not showing loyalty. That's like, well, you know what? You did good. You did good. Here's the money. Get out. You know, that's the type of thing you don't want to show a player who wants to compete. You know, you want to say, look, this is the issue. I want to, you know, these are the suggestions I want to give to you. You either can stay with the team and mentor the young guy. You stay with the team and become a commentator. or you can stay with the organization. We give you higher ups. We give you, you know, you'll give a salary, or you can retire as a cowboy and then go into commentator with some of the networks out there. But you don't. I mean, the way they did Tony was just, you know, mind blowing. But it's just my opinion. So if you want to comment, you know, call in 714-583-6840. We would love to hear your input. We're going to move on to the Washington Wizards. Anything you want to add before we move on, Brenda, Lou?
No, I mean, I think you know, what you said is legit. I mean, we'll see how well, you know, he plays. I mean, hopefully, like I said, he'll do good and not get hurt, and he'll be the one at the end of the year saying, "I told you so."
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping to hear that.
Right. Well, during training camp, he seemed happy. You know, everybody on from the coaches onto the, you know, the organization, they seem very ecstatic about the year coming. They, you know, defense is looking good, offense is looking good. We'll see. Time will tell.
Oh, I hope so. I mean, everything looks good before the regular season starts. I mean, you can get excited about a 4-0 preseason, and then they go and suck the season. I'd rather lose all four preseason and do good in the regular season. I mean, that's
right.
Just me.
Right.
So we'll see.
Right.
I mean.
Very true. Very true. I love that. I love that explanation you gave. Okay, moving on to the Wizards. Now, John Wall just signed his super max deal. I'm super excited about this. And he gave a statement. And I couldn't be happier about the statement. And he says, "Returning to the only team I've known in my professional career was an easy decision for me. I want to thank all my family, Mr. Luances, Grunfeld, all my coaches, all my teammates, for all their amazing support over the last 7 years. I understand my role as a leader with a franchise of this franchise, will continue to work hard and improve my game and make our team better. Washington, D.C. is my second home, and I take seriously my efforts in the community to look forward to strengthening the bond. Our fans are amazing, and I'm excited to bring them and the city continued success and a team they can be proud of." This statement he gave, the statement he gave was exactly where he wanted to be, and the contract matched he wanted to stay. The enthusiasm, the honor, everything. Now we have a nucleus to beat some of the team in the Southeast Division. And, you know, I think now, like I was saying before, Kyrie Irving, I'm just saying it now, Kyrie Irving didn't want to be with LeBron James because LeBron has a tendency to leave the team in their prime. So Kyrie was unsure of what was going on. So now he's asking for a trade. Now, the trade is not final, but most teams have Kyrie Irving going to the Knicks. Some reports I have read say that Kyrie and some reports that I read up until this point have already said that the trade is already, you know, done. But there's some, you know, like I said, the reporting is, you know, it's not really authentic until it's on, you know, a major network like ESPN. But I want to get you, Brenda, and Lou opinion about this signing and the trade and LeBron James. And if you want to add anything afterwards, I'll be happy to listen to it. Brenda, let's go with you first. Give me your opinion about this max deal with John Wall and then Kyrie Irving.
Well, John Wall, like I said, Bradley's my guy, but John did step up to a point. I mean, the last game, seventh game, he didn't show up too much. But I'd rather keep him than lose him. And everybody else sees how good he is. I mean, that's what I keep hearing. So maybe I'm just not totally seeing it. I mean, I admit he's good and everything like that. So I'm glad we kept him. And hopefully he can bring a bigger name to us. I mean, we got the coach. We got him. We got Bradley. We got a few, you know, pieces.
Right.
So hopefully we can get a bigger piece. That's, you know, I mean, if they're going to give out the money, they might as well give it to him. I mean, look at some of the other numbers other players are getting.
Yeah.
Kyrie, I don't know what Kyrie is trying to do. I guess he wants to get out before James does. You know, everybody thinks
right.
James is leaving next year. So he might not think he can do it without him. I don't know. I mean, I think he's pretty decent too. Or he's probably tired of being in his shadow. I mean, because James does act like his crap don't stink, so I don't blame the man for wanting to leave. Sorry. Okay.
Lou,
boy, I talked too much.
I don't really.
It's okay.
I don't
no,
really
okay.
see LeBron leaving.
Okay. Right.
I don't see LeBron leaving Cleveland. I think he's gonna, you know, finish his career, you know, where he started. You know, he wants to give the Cavaliers, you know, one more championship before he does retire. So I don't really see him anyway. The whole thing about him going to L.A., I don't see it happening. And Irving does want more to be more of an active role. So him leaving Cleveland, yeah, that would be a smart move. I don't know if it's going to be smart for him to go to if they'll do well for the Knicks or not, although that would be wonderful because we got him then we got Hardaway Jr. rather, and that's going to help our defense, you know, a great deal. So I see a positive move on that.
Okay.
And if it doesn't, I don't know what to tell you.
I think that the pieces we have right now, John Wall, Bradley Beal, and Otto Porter, these are the monsters that we have wished for this team for centuries, other than, you know, Gilbert Arenas and Antoine Jameson and Caron Butler. Those are the mirror images of the youth we have in our team right now. Plus, we're getting around the core of the team, putting three-point shooters, experts on our team, which will allow to stretch the opponent's defense, which gives us more time to feed the ball into Gortat or dish it out to Mahimi inside. Getting into the paint, allowing us to dominate the paint, gives you know, teams were, you know, more things to worry about on the court. I think based on what John Wall's statement was right now, we're getting there. We are becoming the beast of the Southeast Division. I could not be more happier. I agree, Brenda, that, you know, Bradley Beal is our main two guy. In that paint, he can shoot from the outside and take it to the rim. I'm glad he stayed with the team. He could have went somewhere else, but I'm glad he stayed with the team. Lou, you're right. You know, Kyrie wants to be that main guy because Kyrie said that, and I quote, he wanted to be where John Wall is. That right there says a lot in his statement. He said that he wanted to be where John Wall is, meaning that he wants stability in his life with a team who wants him. I did not see.
Can't blame him.
Yeah, go ahead.
I can't blame him for that. I mean, being LeBron,
yeah.
Being the egomaniac that he is.
Yeah, I know. And that's what I said. You know, people get on me when I tell the truth. When I say what I see, and then people go, no, that's not it. That's not it. No, that's exactly what happened. In the game against the Celtics and the Heat, I said that my LeBron James has a tendency to be, you know, ignorant and not ignorant. Excuse me. Let me rephrase my that he has to be selfish and arrogant.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why is he figures that since he has the ability, he can boss anybody on the court around. But he's not the coach. But he considers himself as a coach. And that's the funny thing about it. I believe there was a game where everybody is like, don't point to the game. I keep telling you, I have to point to this game. This game where the Cavs are playing Miami Heat at home in Cleveland. LeBron James was defending his own player so that Dwayne Wade can drive to the paint. It was not until this was when they had Delvedor. I think he was a point guard. I'm getting his name wrong. You know what I'm talking about.
Close enough.
And he set a pick on him, and he goes, "What are you doing?" And then LeBron James threw his hand up. He said, "Don't worry about it," and patted him on the back. Did you know that cost him the game? You know, they cost him the game, and he just pat him on the back. Like, it was nothing. See, that's the arrogant side of LeBron James. And then people, like, getting on, I mean, those Cavs fans who I keep telling, look, he's going to do it again. He's going to lead the team. If he feels that there's another situation out there, he's going to bounce. But you could tell this year he's not going to do it because he figured that Kyrie was going to stay. Now, Kyrie left, and he gets upset. Why? He did the same thing. It's just my thought. I just want to give my thought out there, you know.
Yeah.
Anything you two want to add before we move on to the next topic? Do you want to talk about the league changes of, you know, the league changes of their policy or – do you want to talk about, you know, anything else that you feel that's important before we move on?
We can move on.
Okay.
Yeah, you can go ahead.
Cool. All right. Moving on to the Baltimore Orioles. The Baltimore Orioles are now 48-53. They're fourth in the division. You know, the leaders is Boston. And second place is the Yankees, and the third place is Tampa Bay, and Toronto is irrelevant because they're one loss behind us. So, what do you have? Well, we lost to Tampa Bay. You know, we lost to Tampa Bay on the 27th. 26, excuse me. 5-1. We look horrible. You know, it's like our pitching is out of whack, and we're starting to have some congruency. And now I see this article, and it blew my mind. And this article reads, Britain on trading block. How can you have your best closer on a trading block? I know he had arm surgery and he just went to, you know, AAA to get back into the groove of things. And then you bring him back and now you want to trade him. What's going on? Lou and
I don't know.
Go ahead.
I agree with you. I mean, they need to make some moves because I think they're a decent team. They got some good players. I just don't know if the owner's willing to get up off that wallet. Is what I've been told by other people. I mean, it's to a point. Other fans have told me they think that he doesn't care if they win or lose. You know, I mean, I'm just saying what other people have told me. I mean, I hate hearing that because that is my team. I mean, and like I said, they've got some good players. I just think the pitching stinks. I mean, yeah, they were playing great at the beginning of the year, and now what's happening? I mean, so. You got to put the money where your mouth is, you know?
True. Yeah.
No,
Lou?
Yours. Well, like I always say, it's about 8 times out of 10, it's usually about the money. And if they're not willing to give up, the owner's not willing to give up the cash, then what have you got? Then you're back to square one.
Right. Very true.
Yeah. I'm not saying it's all about the money, but it usually is.
Go ahead, Lou.
Always about the money. I mean, there are exceptions to that, but generally, about 80% of the time, yeah, it's about the money. No one wants to, you know, dish out the cash.
Mm-hmm.
So you're stuck in a bind at that point.
Yeah, very true. Yeah. I mean, if you look at the game against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, I mean, Tampa Bay Devil Rays. Jimenez struck out nine over six innings. And you're considering him over Britton? Now, keep in mind, Brad Brock was in a role until Britton got healthier. And he threw a pitch and it ended the game against, I forgot what team it was. But he lost the game. And they tried to put him in to sub for Britton, and he walked a batter. This you know, Zach Britton is the team's number one person. Now, they gave up many other closers in the past, and they went on to do great things for other clubs, and they never signed back with the Orioles. So I'm just baffled by why are you going to give up your best player? You know, and right now the best player hitting on the team is Scoop. You know?
Yeah.
Go ahead, Lou. What'd you say?
I mean, you know, why give up your best player? I mean, if you give up that, then what do you got? You're gonna sell yourself short that way. Oh, and one thing I want to add about the standings about the East. You know, it's not a runaway by any means. Even though Boston, you know, is about like, six, 7.5 games up. I mean.
Yeah.
This is not over in a long shot. I mean, between four of the top five teams. I mean, Toronto, I think we can cut them off. But if you go Boston, New York, Tampa, even Baltimore, a slight chance. You know, any one of those four teams can still take it. We still got, 9 weeks to go? It's doable.
Right.
It's doable.
True. Boston is 8 games above us, ahead, and they're leading. New York is showing some signs of fatigue, you know, and is, you know, and then you have Tampa's trying to gain speed, and we have us trying to figure out what we're going to do, how we're going to do this. Are we going to be in a wild card, or are we just building for next year? And that's the thing. We were in the first place for 3 years. We were in first place for 3 years. And we sometimes play small ball, you know, get a little chip here, you know, be 500 during midseason, you know, and then take off in September and October. But we don't have that momentum no more. We're just waiting for the next big picture and then we're just going to throw him in the mix. And hoping that the other teams don't figure him out by the time we hit the playoffs, you know. And I mean, don't get me wrong. Buck Showalter is the greatest manager, hands down, for this club.
Right.
But what we need to do is we need to figure out who's going to hit first, second, and third. Now, don't get me wrong. Our on base percentage is in three. It's in the 300s. But we're hitting below two. The only person who's hitting above two is Mancini and Shoup.
Yes.
That's it. You know, and we got Mark Trumbo, who we signed, who's supposed to hit, you know, a home runs. It's not doing that. And we got Chris Davis. Now, Chris Davis, hasn't really been on mark, you know, hitting on mark for – what, a month, 2 months, 3 months? Probably a whole season. So what are we doing? It's like we're just waiting. We're waiting for something to happen. We're on a two-game losing streak right now. We're 30-21 at home. On the road, we're 18-32. Those numbers got to get better before we get going like we used to back in the day. It's just I think we're losing touch. And our pitching is horrible. You know, we're just looking for the right, you know, the right pitcher to shine. Right now we have Bundy. Bundy is the best pitcher we have next to
right.
Guzman. And that's all, you know, if that's only thing, is that the only two play pitchers we have to think about that are good? I don't understand. I mean, we got to have more pitchers. You know, we got this young pitcher who's pitching sideways. I forget it. Oh, Givens. Givens is starting to look good too. So if we have this rotation where, you know, they're pitching maybe four innings and then bring them out and then bring some more relief pitching, I think we're going to be okay. I think we'll manage the game better. But we're constantly putting them five, six, seven innings deep and hoping they can finish out the game like that. The arm tears down. The arm wears down and the tendons begin to get tightened. And then you've got to bring him out. Jimenez, he gave up a walk. He gave up two runs. He gave up a home run in the Tampa Bay game. We were up 1-0, right? And sure enough, he gave a pitch that was a curveball, and it spinned towards the player. All that player had to do was hit the ball out of the park, and sure enough, that's what he did. And it was 2-1. And ever since then, he kept giving up another run. Another run, then Buck went and brought another relief pitcher in, and he hit it. He threw the ball down the middle of the plate, and that was the game. Yeah, I mean, teams will look for any type of weakness you have, and they'll exploit it. And it's just that we're not playing smart ball. We're just playing, you know, 50-50 ball, and that's not good. And I hate to bring up this team, but this team is on a roll. Look at the Dodgers. The Dodgers has the best pitching in the majors, and they're doing everything right. I'm not saying that we don't have the greatest manager, but we got to have a better. It goes from manager to pitching manager to the hitting instructor, and then mechanics. If we don't have the proper mechanics, you're not going to have the proper winning team. I just had to let that out, you know.
So, do you feel better?
I feel a little bit better.
Good. No, it's good to be passionate. I feel like I'm one of the only Oriole fans that they're, you know, that talks on these shows and stuff. So I'm glad to hear it.
I'm like
right.
The Yankees.
Oh wow, the Yankees! You know what? The Judge is one. I'm just letting you know, Judge is a hitting machine. They brought him on to win games. That's what I'm saying. They know they have to win games. So who they bring in? They bring in this young hitting machine that knows that he can win games, and he can win games on his bat. When they put him in the fourth lineup, they know that fourth lineup is his for the taking. They know that because they know they can have the defense. They can play defense when it's their turn to pitch. So that's it. They're playing not to lose the game. That's New York's game. Play to lose the game.
You play to win the game.
So,
you play to win
exactly.
The game.
Sorry, Herman Oriole fans. I had to do it. Sorry, Herman Oriole fans. I had to do it.
Well,
yes.
I mean, the Orioles, we're just waiting for that pitcher. It's like you could see the reason why they play the game. They play smart ball. I'm not going to lie. They play smart ball. But when it comes to defense, one player has to be on fire for the whole team to be on fire. And that shouldn't be the way we do things in Baltimore. But that's what we do. So if one player's on fire, then the other player's on fire, and then the next player's on fire, and then the pitching comes on, and then the team is on a 12-game winning streak. you know? And it shouldn't be like that. It should be like defense shuts down offensive. That's it. But we just got to play better. And, you know, like I said, and like Lou was saying that, you know, weeks are, you know, everything's starting to wind down, you know, in 2 months, you know, the playoff is going to start. If we're going to be in the wild card or we're going to be sitting home watching the wild, you know, watching the World Series.
Yeah, so it's
going to
be tight.
It's a four-way race. I still look at it as a four-way, mm-hmm. as a four-way race. I do.
Yes, it is. Yeah, and you're right. And but see, the thing about it is, I kind of agree with you. If Boston falls off, and then Yankees start to lose their momentum, then it'll be Tampa Bay and Baltimore at top. But I don't see that. I don't see that. But with the way the teams are hitting, and the way the pitchers are pitching, especially Tampa Bay, they feel like they're going to try to be a threat. But I think towards the end, they're going to probably be in third place, you know. Yeah. Baltimore, I'm not too sure. I think Baltimore's going to be fighting for the wild card. I don't know if they're going to be in the position to do that. I don't feel right like I did last year about them. But right now, the teams that are in the wild card right now is Yankees – and Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, Kansas City Royals, excuse me. Like I said, I got football. Yeah.
It's okay.
And the only team that's catching up to them is Tampa Bay. And we are below the Angels trying to catch up. Everybody else is 49 and 53. We're 48 and 53. Now, we can write off Toronto, Detroit, Oakland, and the Sox. So there's no way those teams below us is going to be able to reach 54 wins before September. That's just given. Right now, there's a team playing really good. It's the Minnesota Twins. The Minnesota Twins is starting to look pretty decent. They're practically two games from 500. And Seattle's catching fire, too. So they're like one game from 500. So it's going to be really tight getting this wild card. These two teams getting wild cards, you know. So we're going to have to see. We're going to see what's going to happen till then.
Yeah.
Okay. You want to move? Anything else you want to add, Brenda, Lou? That we'll move on to the next topic at hand.
I think you covered it pretty well. I mean, you're very passionate about the O's, just as I am. So, I mean, it gets frustrating to see them not doing good, and we know they got the talent. I mean, like you said, it seems like when everybody hits. Everybody hits. So, therefore, we get all these runs when we don't need as many. And then when we need them, there's no one to be found. I know people, you know, it can't exactly be helped, but, you know, I don't know. They've got to be a, you know, and I do love Showalter. I mean, I'm sorry. I do love him. So, I mean, I don't think he is the problem. I mean, you can't really blame him when the guys aren't pitching or the guys aren't hitting. I mean, you know,
very true.
He assumes
they're going to
do their job.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I mean, he assumes they're going to do their job. But then that's like everybody. Everybody's going to have a bad night or a bad day or something like that. But then that's when the other ones hopefully would stand up and, you know, be helping out and everything like that. I mean, I don't know. You can't put it all on one player. I don't know. Maybe switch it up a little bit, you know, or do something. I mean, again, I didn't like that we got rid of Weeters. I really liked Weeters, you know, the catcher we had and everything like that.
That's exactly what I was saying. And we had some very good pitchers that were just getting their feel and, you know, putting their foot into the organization but didn't have enough, you know, staying time you know, to rather take the organization over. We had a pitcher by the name of Davis, and he went on to another team and is doing well with the team. I think it was the Cubs, and they won a World Series with him, right? And we had a pitcher by the name of Hunter, and I did not like Hunter, but he plays with the Tampa Bay Devil Rays. And sure enough, they got that win. That was that last win, that 5-1 win. He didn't win that one because we were hitting his mistakes. He kept leaving the curveball up in the strike zone, and sure enough, we tattoo him. Left field, right field, middle, we kept getting base hits all night, and what they did was they took him out and brought in their relief pitcher that doesn't generate enough runs. I think his ERA was 1.25. Or a little bit higher than that, 1.24. I mean, 1.42, excuse me. And we had an ERA with Jimenez of 7.01. When you have a pitcher who throws 7 runs in an inning, you're not going to win. And especially when you're hitting going against a team that loves to hit, and their 1, 2, and 3 slot their hitting per average is above 3. You're not going to win a game too much like that, even though you manage it well, like Buck does.
Right.
You got to have a pitcher who has a ERA of less than 2. If it's 2.01, it's 2.02, then you're okay, because you know that you're going to manage the game to have 2 runs or lesser than your opponent. Let's say the game is 6-3. You know that you're going to have those 6 runs by the end of 8 innings when it goes to the 9th inning, and you're going to win the game. But when you have a pitcher throwing 10 runs, you know, ERA is 10 and above, just go to sleep. You know, just go see your family. You know, it's time for you to go home, because there's no way you're going to win this game.
Exactly.
So, we just got to get better in pitching, because what we're doing is we're just selecting pitchers and then coaching them up. That's not how you do things.
Not how you win.
Management. I'm sorry. Go ahead, Lou. What you say?
That's not how you win games either.
True. Very true. And Brenda, you're right. I am passionate, and you're right. We're passionate about our team, and Buck needs to find coaches, pitching coaches that have experience in the World Series, or, you know, he finds these really bad pitching coaches and then throws it with, you know, go ahead and throws it with the team and just go, look, do your best. No, don't do that. We're trying to win a series, you know? We got about 10 minutes. I will go ahead and go to the next topic at hand. Great conversation, guys. Maryland Terrapins, you know, we moved from ACC onto the Big Ten, you know, to find a home in the Big Ten, and we're doing pretty well over the past year since I watched, you know, the Maryland Terrapins, you know, enter the Big Ten. And sure enough, I think we're going to be really, really good this year. And the reason why I say that is because we have a coach. We have a coach, and he's been coaching this team up, and he's been on fire. Our defense has been good. Special teams pretty good. I think if there was an opening with the Redskins, he would have been a Redskin for life. This time, I want to hear what your opinions about the college itself. Do you think they need to change everything in the system? We're going to come back to the topic of the Terps. I just want you to comment about the status of the FCS, and do you think having a playoff is better than having a standing super, you know, Orange Bowl? Do you think they should just have a tournament a player,
well,
of a team.
The problem
ahead,
is
Luke.
That, you know, the problem is that there's been a lot of debate about that over the decades. Right? Those Bulls mm-hmm. generate, you know, a lot of money for the schools, and I don't think they would want to give up all that money. Because then what would you have? I mean, yeah, a playoff system might seem more reasonable, but then again, that's also going to leave maybe some other teams out. Like, if you, like, okay, where would you have it, though? Would you have, like, four teams, eight teams? How many would you have in the playoffs? You got to figure that out, too. Because you might get, you know, some good teams that might get locked out of a playoff because they finished, like, 10th in the
well,
in
I
the system
I would
they get knocked out.
No, I agree with you, but okay. The way I would do it is have it statewide. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? On the East Coast, have all the East Coast teams fighting out during the season, and then when it comes to like January, you have the top teams fighting it off in a four way battle. Let's say
I get
during
so
the weekday. You know what?
So you don't want the you don't want to say like the Pac-12 against the big against the ACC in the regular season. Is that what you're saying? Like East plays East and West plays West.
I think I understand that.
That makes sense.
And that way,
like that.
you know how most colleges say they don't get enough TV time. Well, there's the TV time,
right.
And everybody's on TV. You know, and we kept – see, this is what I was saying before, and I think it was when I was on Brenda's show. I was saying that we'd like to division everybody off, you know, fighting your division to see who's the toughest division. Why don't we just play East versus West, you know, and then have teams come out and fight to be relevant. That's all it is.
Mm-hmm.
And then the best team will win the championship at the end.
Right.
We constantly section the viewings off, like, you know, these people are not going to, you know, people are not going to watch them. People are not going to watch them. They might watch them. Let's have a big TV extravaganza in this area. We just need to have everybody play everybody. And that's how everybody will be just happy. Brenda, what do you think?
Well, the problem is, I mean, I'm not that much into the college football scene. I got my little book, and I'm going to get more prepared. But my opinion is I think a lot of teams, and I hate saying it because I see my Turks do it in basketball, they play these little mm-hmm. rinky-dink teams that they know they're going to beat, and the team gets a little bit of publicity and everything, and long and behold, it could happen, but it seldom does. They win a game. Okay, so they build up their record, and they're, 10-15-0 before you know it, and then they start playing hard teams, and you really see who's good. I mean, I think, you know, like you said, I always said, hey, take the top certain amount and let them do the playoffs, maybe instead of doing divisions and stuff like that. Or you could take each group, like ACC, have everybody play each other and do like tournaments, and then like take the winner of the ACC, you know, winner of
like
each group, and do it until there's finally one winner. You see what I'm saying? I know it's going to make the season longer, but maybe don't make that way you don't play someone outside your league, you know what I'm saying, or out of your division or something. I mean, I don't know. I mean, that's what I'm just saying. So, what do you guys think?
I like that. I like the idea.
See, the girl knows
a
little bit, guys.
Of course, she's not going to please everybody, but, you know.
Well, you know, I think you're both right. And I think we kind of, when we play, when the college teams play who they're supposed to play, they're not having the same, you know, they're not testing their, you know, their abilities. They just, you know, they're playing it safe because they know that their division is, you know, going to be tougher than any other least divisions. You know, it's just just not right. But we have 5 minutes. You want to go ahead and plug your show, Brenda and Lou, and give your your social media.
Right. Okay, my show is on Wednesday night, 6 to 8. It's Face Off with Facemeyer. You can follow me on Twitter at ForeverFriends2, and you can join my Facebook group, Face Off with Facemeyer, and you will see the show posted and everything. And I hate to say I don't have the number memorized. I'm in a hotel in Pennsylvania, and I'm not, you know, hey. So please call and listen. And this coming week we're going to do fantasy football. If you want to be part of the round table, let me know, because I'm going to get some people and we're going to talk to, quote, an expert, and he's going to show me how to win. Great job, Russell. Thanks, Lou, for being part of this. And you guys have a great weekend. All right?
All right, Ben.
Thanks, Brenda.
Thank you.
See you Wednesday.
Bye.
All right.
Okay.
All right. All right, Lou, go ahead.
Well, okay. Well, first of all, it's not really my show. I'm just like a pitch hitting for until our regular host returns. But until then, it's all about the ball. We're on 8 to 10 Saturday nights, numbers 213-943-3407. We'll discuss the opening of training camp in the NFL, plus all the usual with baseball as we head now into August. Discussing an issue on CTE and the rise of it, because there was a big study that was just announced on Tuesday that 91% of former players were diagnosed with CTE. These are players from not just the pro level, but all the way down to high school. So we're going to discuss about that.
All right.
Yeah, and yes. So if you got time right, between 10 tomorrow, give me a call.
All right, Lou, you got it. And I'm Russell McGee, and you can catch me on Facebook, Russell McGee, major. You want to join the group, Major Sports. And I could be catched on Twitter with Russ Lab McGee. That's RASLAB McGee, MCGEE. Catch me on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter. Thanks, everybody. Thanks to Lou, Brenda, Mark, and thanks to you listeners. You made this show great. Yes, I couldn't have a better guess. Thank you, everybody. And, you know, we're just human first, everything second. Thank you, everybody. Thanks. Great show.